From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Well, I tell you what, folks, you gotta give credit when credit is due. Michigan, what a performance they had last night against Illinois, clinching. Yes, clinching their first outright Big Ten championship in 28 years. What a performance. Nick Stauskas was hitting left and right. I mean, he could not miss. Zach Irvin left and right. Glenn Robinson III setting the house on fire with dunks. Spike Albrecht couldn't miss. I mean, it was a clinic. I mean, that was perfect basketball, folks. And it's no surprise, this Michigan team, I mean, they just, shooting is what they do, folks. Shooting is what they do. It was a historic night. They actually tied a school record with 16 three-pointers. 16, folks. I mean, it was one of those nights where if they were in the boat and you know, it was just like they were just throwing golf balls in the ocean all night. I mean, unbelievable stuff. Hats off to Michigan. Well-deserving. Quite surprising if you ask me, because I was a huge criticizer of this team at the very beginning of the season. I didn't think they would even get close to winning a Big Ten championship this year. Also, considering what they lost, I mean, you don't have Mitch McGarry. You lose guys like Trey Burke, the National Player of the Year. You lose Tim Hardaway Jr., who was such a great addition to the team as well on their road to the national championship. Of course, they lost, but even just getting there from Michigan, that was quite a remarkable season. And you got to tip your hat to John Beilein. John Beilein, you one fantastic job with this Michigan team. I'm certain that he will be definitely in National Coach of the Year talks, without a doubt. So hats off to Michigan, man. What a game. Well, welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have a packed show in store for you all. And, of course, you guys know that March is one of my favorite times of the year. March Madness will soon be in full effect when you talk about college hoops. But also right now, when you talk about high school hoops, postseason action has already started and is in live in full effect right now. For the girls, regional action has tipped off this week. And for the guys, tonight will be the second round of the district playoffs. Man, can you believe that? Oh, my God. I tell you, the basketball season just flew by when you talk about high school hoops. And on today's show, we have two guests. Yes, not one, but two. Jeff Wanch, the Okemos boys basketball coach, will be joining me in just a sec. And also later on the hour, around the 1:30-ish time period, we'll be chatting with East Lansing boys basketball coach and great friend of the show, Steve Fenimore. And those two actually clashed on Monday night at East Lansing High School. What a game it was. The game actually went to overtime with Okemos pulling out a three-point win to end the season of Steve Fenimore and his East Lansing Trojan basketball team. We'll revisit that game and get their the opposing coaches' thoughts on that game and also on Coach Wanch as they now move on to the second round, which will be played tonight against Hazlitt at 8 p.m. tip time. We'll get his thoughts on that game. And also, how do you deal with defeat? Especially when you talk about kids who are in high school, their dreams are to go to the state championship. I always go back to my time, you know, back in high school playing basketball, and, you know, our dream was to go or even get close to a state championship. We would fall just short a few times, but, you know, that's heartbreaking, you know, being a kid and, you know, having that as your dream and, you know, losing a real close game like that. I mean, as a coach, what do you tell your kids? We will definitely ask Coach Steve Fenimore how the atmosphere of that locker room was. So, and also want to remind you all that Current Sports TV, that's right, it's Wednesday. Each and every Wednesday night, we tape Current Sports TV right here at the WKAR TV studios on the first floor of the Communication Arts and Sciences building on the campus of Michigan State University. And tonight, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Joey Eisenman. He is a sports nutrition expert and is also one of the heads over at SNAP here in East Lansing, Michigan, and, you know, it's an incredible program that works with mid-Michigan local athletes who are in high school and, you know, even lower than high school, middle school, elementary school kids. I mean, just working on their nutrition and their overall workouts to make them better in whatever sport they play. Joey, a great guy. I'll be sitting with him tonight at 6 p.m., and it's not too late to reserve your free, yes, free, gotta love the F-R-E-E word, free tickets at the WKAR-TV studios. You can be a part of the audience by signing up online at WKAR.org. It's always a fun time each and every Wednesday as I get to, you know, chat with all of you who come out to our tapings. Always a fun time. Look forward to it. All right, well, let's kick off the show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this March 5th, 2014. Okay, again, Michigan. They came to Illinois with a shot at sewing up its first outright Big Ten title since 1986, 28 years. One potential obstacle stood in the way. The Illini, they were riding a hot streak that had held four straight opponents under 50 points. It turns out that Illinois wasn't much of a problem, though. Michigan, again, they buried Illinois with 16 three-pointers on the way to an 84-53 blowout on Tuesday night. Nick Stauskas scored 24 points, a career-best 7 three-pointers for him himself. He said Michigan didn't want to share the championship with anybody, something it did in 2012. He came out and said after the game, quote, "We came with that mindset. That was our championship, and we wanted it." Now, the final game of the season will take place this Saturday at the Chrysler Center against Indiana. Again, we'll be diving into that game later on in the hour. If you want to call in and weigh in on Michigan's just incredible run this season, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And also, a really big upset yesterday. A month ago, Syracuse was unbeaten, ranked number one, riding high. Now the Orange are struggling toward the postseason, having lost 4 of 5. Now, Trey Golden, he had 16 points, including 6 clutch free throws in the final seconds, and Georgia Tech stunned number 7 Syracuse 67-62 on Tuesday night, with the Orange's second straight home loss to a team with a sub-500 record. Now, Syracuse started the season with 25 straight wins and spent 3 weeks at number one. Oh, my goodness. Oh, how they're singing a different story there. Okay. Also, again, girls prep roundup for you. Girls regional action has tipped off. And folks, here are some teams that will be moving on and some teams that won't. Quick update here. Eden Rapids, they topped Chelsea yesterday 46-20. Hazlitt, what a team they have with the Orwatch sisters. That's Grand Ledge, excuse me. Well, Grand Ledge, 56, Cal Central, 44. They move on. But Hazlitt, they beat Ann Arbor Huron, 47-34. Ionia topped Williamston, 44-41. Lansing Christian topped Jackson Christian, 46-31. Fruitport Calvary Christian, they topped Fowler, 69-68. A close one there. Freeland, they beat Alma 68-62, and CC Crystal, that's right, they beat Calvin Christian 38-34, another close one there. So, again, we wish all the teams who move on good luck, and as we really get in the thick of things now, especially for the girls, as they now are in regional action, folks. Regional finals are the end of this week, so, man. Crazy stuff there. All right, Wings, the Detroit Red Wings, they fell to the New Jersey Devils on the road last night, 4-3, your final. Johan Franzen, Brendan Smith, and Todd Bertuzzi score for the Red Wings against Martin Brodeur, who has been the subject of trade rumors leading up to Wednesday's deadline. Now, Jimmy Howard, he finished with 25 saves. The Wings now get ready for the Colorado Avalanche this Thursday at home. Also, some news out at spring training. Detroit Tigers outfielder Andy Dierks will miss at least 12 weeks while he recovers from back surgery scheduled for next Monday. Dierks complained of soreness in his back earlier in the week, and a specialist determined surgery was the best course of action. Now, Dierks will resume baseball-related activities in 6 weeks. His spot in left field will likely be filled by newly acquired Tigers Rajay Davis and Steve Lombardozzi. And also, less serious spring training news, Torrey Hunter, he made a social media splash when a photo of him kissing an alligator was posted on Instagram. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty funny stuff. and dangerous stuff, folks. Hunter planted one on the gator on a dare from Tigers ace Justin Verlander. Now, while the gator's jaws were taped shut, Hunter still got up close and personal with the clubhouse visitor. Funny stuff there. Again, you can Google that one. Torrey Hunter, he's one of the most likable guys on the Detroit Tigers team. All right, Pistons and Bulls, fresh off a win over the New York Knicks. The Detroit Pistons host the Chicago Bulls tonight at the Palace of Auburn Hills. The Bulls have won 9 of their past 11 games and are inching closer to the third playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Now, the Pistons are heading into the other direction, losing 7 of their last 9 games. On the bright side, the Pistons have gone 1-1 versus the Bulls this season after losing 18 straight to Chicago in previous seasons. Tip is set for 7:30 p.m. tonight. And also sticking with the Pistons here, a really interesting story. Racy photos of former Nickelodeon star Jeanette McCurdy were leaked on Monday, and McCurdy looks to be hinting toward Pistons center Andre Drummond as the source. McCurdy went on to say on Tuesday that, quote, "To anyone disappointed, I sent those pics to one person. You can connect the dots. Shock someone would stoop so low. I just speak with candor." Now, Drummond denied the accusation, saying, quote, "For all of the speculations about leaking anything, I have nothing to do with it. I'm focused on basketball. Thank you." Now, McCurdy recently went on a podcast and claimed the relationship lasted only a week and that Drummond was a subpar kisser. I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth. So there you have that. Again, Drummond and McCurdy, they started a social media type relationship. Drummond said that he had a crush on McCurdy. They started dating and then things went sour. Hey, Drummond, I could have told you that thing wasn't going to last, brother. Oh, my goodness. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know the number, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527, and share anything that's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And something I forgot to mention at the top of the hour, folks, again, it is Wednesday, and each and every Wednesday is our famed Barbershop Wednesday segment. And in honor of March Madness, we're throwing out an interesting topic that has been debated each and every year. We want to pose the question out to you all who are listening right now. If you could try and place yourself in the shoes of a college basketball coach, what would you prefer? Going after and getting the biggest recruits in the nation, who are most likely going to go one and done, or recruiting kids who are going to stay for 4 years, the four and out golden rule, which is much seen here at Michigan State with Tom Izzo's basketball squad. What would you do? 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. All right, so today I have the privilege of first welcoming a coach that is having quite the season. As you all know, March, again, one of my favorite times of the year. It's better than Christmas, folks, not just because of March Madness and all of the college hoops action taking place, but also high school hoops. I love it, folks. There are so many great teams around the mid-Michigan area, and one of those is the Okemos boys basketball team, who moved on to the second round of the district tournament on Monday with a clutch 3-point overtime win over Steve Fenimore's East Lansing Trojans. It's my pleasure to welcome Okemos boys basketball coach Jeff Wanch to Current Sports. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for joining me again. Now, Jeff, let's just rewind time for a minute. Let's go back 2 days, Monday night. I mean, the gym is packed. It's district action, opening game, a down-to-the-wire type of game. I got to ask you, Coach, how nervous were you down the stretch of that game against EL, especially when it went to OT?
Yeah, and I think we always have nerves going on, but sometimes I think you're too busy to be nervous. There's always something to think about and, you know, what's coming up next. But, yeah, when I think back on it, there's there was definitely a lot going on in some critical moments in that game, that's for sure. But what a great high school basketball game.
Yes, it was. I guess, yeah, just so into the moment, I guess, right, in that moment. You're just trying to figure out how to win this thing, right?
Yeah, you're always trying to think what's next, you know, like what's next? That play didn't work out, but what's next? You know, we had a one-point lead for, you know, about a minute and a half where we were just kind of, you know, stalling things out, waiting for them to maybe foul us, and then we turn it over. Now we're down one with less than a minute to go, and, you know, things change pretty quickly, so there's really not too much time to even think about being nervous.
Yes, that is so true. Now, Jeff, as a coach, I mean, what did you tell your kids in a tight one like that in order to keep them focused and on just going out there and simply executing? Or is it pretty easy with this team?
Well, I don't think it's really easy because, you know, we had some games this season where, you know, where something would go wrong and, you know, we'd struggle to bounce back from it. And then we've had some games, you know, lately where, you know, maybe we're learning a little bit from some of our mistakes that we've made earlier on in the season. So I really like the way the guys came in, even after, you know, a big play where you lose the lead and there's under a minute to go and we're fouling, trying to, you know, get that point back. And they're coming into the timeout positive, like, what's next, what's next, instead of thinking, oh, man, we just screwed that up. So I think our team, you know, is just growing up, and that's the way it should be, especially from seniors this time of year.
Now, I got to ask you because, you know, I talked to Steve about this, especially during the later part of the regular season. And this kid, Nate Colon, he's been on a tear, Jeff, as you know. I'm pretty sure you knew that coming into that game on Monday. And, you know, he's been such a special player for EL. He's a guy who can get hot at any moment. How did you all go about defending Nate, especially down the stretch?
Well, there hasn't been a high school player in the area that has put together games like he has. So when we played him the first time, which, you know, wasn't that long ago, we just, you know, we treated him like he's the best player on that team because he was playing with the most confidence and obviously shooting amazing. He was coming off I think where he went 8 for 9 from 3 against Grand Ledge, and then they played us next. So it was kind of, you know, our guys were up for the challenge, but they didn't truly believe what was happening until they watched it on tape. So, well, I think once they got to see it, and, you know, it kind of motivated them to step up their defense, and, you know, we're going to work really hard on this guy. But what a great job he did, and, you know, what a story for him, you know, going the end of his senior year, being able to come out like that. But basically what we said we were going to do is we were going to make him work really hard, and we were going to try and get him off that three-point line. But yeah. they had some other guys that could score too. So they're just a dangerous team.
Yes, they were. And you know what, Jeff, now correct me if I'm wrong. Going back to the end of that game, fourth quarter, you know, just seconds left, I believe, Nate went to the line, and he went to the line shooting two free throws. If he makes both of them, East Lansing goes up. Am I right?
Yeah, we would be, I think there was maybe 7 seconds left, and we would have been down one. And so he split them, and so it is tied, which kind of changes everything. And especially because they had fouls to give, so it was highly unlikely we were going to get a good shot because they were going to use those couple of fouls to get the clock down to about 2 seconds, which would have made a, you know, really tough shot. So, and even him getting to the line there, you know, he made kind of a nice play to get to the basket. And,
yeah.
You know, I thought we made a nice block on it, but it was close. It could have went either way. But like I said, just a great high school basketball game going back and forth.
When Nate approached the line, Jeff, I mean, did you think he was going to sink both of them?
Yeah, I think I'm always thinking worst case scenario, you know, like
right.
What happens if he sinks both, because we're going to need something. And so, yeah, that I thought he was going to probably sink them both. And, you know, sometimes things just don't work out perfect for you know, everybody when they step to the line. So we were just, you know, what's next? And we didn't get a great shot and went into overtime.
Boy, it comes down to those little moments, I tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm talking with Okemos boys basketball coach Jeff Wanch as they got a clutch win on Monday over East Lansing to move on to the second round of districts. You know, Jeff, what's the toughest part about playing on the road, especially, you know, now around this time of the year where you're in districts, you're one and done, win or go home, the atmosphere is through the roof. I mean, what's the toughest part about playing on the road in this time of year in this type of atmosphere?
Well, I think the toughest part is, you know, and there's nothing anyone can kind of do about this one. It's just the way it gets organized and set up. So, like, there's three different places, and there's a host site, and they're playing in that game. So, example, Eastern was playing at Waverly against Waverly, and we're playing at East Lansing against East Lansing. And for a district, that's it's just kind of interesting to have three games like that where it's not a neutral court. And
right.
It's tough. It's tough for the visiting team to come in and do that. But, you know, it's also something we've been dealing with all season long. And really, I tell my guys, if I have to give you any kind of motivational speech, you know, before a district game, then we've got big problems, because this should be everything for you guys. And, you know, I tell them I should just walk in the locker room and look at your eyes and say, let's go, and we'll go out there and do our best. So, and, you know, that's kind of the attitude our guys are taking into the game.
So you're not a guy who goes in and gives this legendary remember the Titans type speech before a game, huh, Jeff?
Yeah, definitely when it's not needed. You know, sometimes they need a little kick, a little push for motivation against maybe – you know, sometimes it's those Tuesday night games where the crowd's not as big and things are kind of down. But, you know, when the crowd's there and the student section is there and they're playing against a rival, there's really nothing to be said as far as motivation goes.
Gotta love that. I love that. Very black and white, Jeff. I love that stuff, man. All right, now you all face a Hazlitt team who made it look pretty easy on Monday against a very talented DeWitt squad. Now, a 20-point district open win for Hazlitt. What will you be expecting from the Vikings?
Well, Hazlitt's a team we've all been kind of keeping track of throughout the season, just because, you know, they have the pieces. And, you know, during that game, they definitely put it together. Their shooter was hitting shots. Their point guard was getting to the rim. And they were just making plays. And, you know, I don't think DeWitt played their best game, but Hazlitt definitely played a great game. And, mm-hmm. you know, and it showed that, you know, they could jump up on a team, even a team that had won their league, and beat them by 20. It shows, you know, the kind of talent and the kind of coaching they have over there.
Yes, that's so true. And, you know, something else that I admire, especially when it comes to coaching and, you know, in high school district action and regional action and so on and so forth, is that, you know, you guys have to prepare for your next game in only about one day. How in the world do you prepare for a team with essentially only one day of preparation under your belt?
Yeah, and it is difficult, too, when you're thinking, you know, we just came off an overtime game and they had just played a game and,
right.
you know, we're going to have one day and then play again. And I guess the approach I take is, you know, you really only focus on the necessity stuff, the stuff that's really, really important. And, you know, you practice that and then you maybe discuss or talk about some of the other minor, smaller things. Because when push comes to shove, if they don't have their legs, it's not going to matter what you talk about or what you practice. So there's times where, you know, the guys just, they need their legs, they need some rest, but they still need, you know, the reps and maybe watching some of the game on tape or something like that. But I kind of like the idea of, you know, not doing too much, and because without legs, it won't matter.
Right, that's so true. So, Jeff, how did you guys, how was practice yesterday for you guys? Did you guys watch some film? Did you guys go really hard in practice? I mean, what was your approach yesterday with them?
You know, our idea was, you know, we're going to go hard, but it's going to be more, you know, more with our mind, more with our mouth, communicating. You know, a couple of the drills we went hard with, some of the simulation stuff we went pretty hard with. But practice wasn't very long. We spent the end of practice just kind of watching the Hazlitt-DeWitt game, kind of pointing out some things that they might do against us and just trying to prepare them the best way we can with them keeping their legs.
So you guys do get film then. I mean, who shoots that? How do you guys get that film for preparation?
Well, I'm lucky enough to have just a great assistant crew. And,
nice.
You know, it's Coach Dickerman, and his name's Matt Dickerman, and he's always handing me the DVD to the next game. And, you know, he organizes it all. He gets people to go tape things, and, you know, and then he just kind of hands it to me, and, you know, we can watch it as a team, and I watch it beforehand. And so I'm pretty blessed to have such a great coaching staff.
Gotta love, man. I wish I had that in when I was playing high school ball.
Yeah, I truly am lucky too. I've never really had anybody like him just to be on top of things for me.
Right. That is great stuff. All right, Coach. I gotta ask you, Jeff. What do you do to keep yourself calm and to not think about the pressure that comes with the one and done season? How do you just, you know, get your mind off it? Because I know you can't get too consumed over, you know, this time of the year, right?
Yeah, it is tough, though, because anytime you have any down moments throughout the day, and your mind kind of drifts to that area. But, you know, I'm lucky enough to be a teacher, so I'm pretty occupied with students all day long, and
right.
you know, things getting done, and then I go home, and I've got my kids to be engaged with, and, you know, but as soon as that quiet time comes, or I'm in the car on the way to, you know, catch the bus to the game, you know, your mind starts racing a little bit, start thinking about that stuff. But, and I'm sure a lot of the players are the same way, and coaches in the area too.
Right, right. Now, you know, Jeff, what's the ceiling for this squad, and how do they compare to other teams you've coached?
Well, I think, you know, I think we're really starting to put it together. There's still moments where you're kind of wondering it, you know, do we have what we need? And then there's times where you think, we definitely have what we need. We just need to put it together. And I think that's where we're at is, you know, we're putting it together, just whether we can be consistent with it and kind of push on through. And I definitely think this is the team that, you know, can win our game tonight. And I don't like to think too much more than that into the future. So,
right.
But I definitely think we're capable if we, you know, playing our best game. And I'm sure Hazlitt will play theirs. It's going to be a good basketball game, but one we're definitely capable of winning.
Yes, it is. Well, we definitely want to wish you good luck from the current sports crew and I. Again, that's against Hazlitt, round two of district play tonight, 8 p.m., right, Jeff?
8 p.m., yes.
And what location? Is this a neutral site, or where is it at?
Yep, so now everything's at East Lansing.
Gotcha. Everything is at East Lansing now. Gotta love that. Jeff, before I let you go now, each and every Wednesday here on Current Sports, we like to debate. We call it Barbershop Wednesday because where I'm from in Detroit, Jeff, anytime you go into the barbershop, there's always a debate when it comes to sports happening all the time. Everybody thinks they're a sports expert, okay? So
yeah.
I got to ask you, Jeff, our Barbershop Wednesday topic today is if you could try and place yourself in the shoes of a college basketball coach, what would you prefer? Going after and getting the biggest recruits in the nation who are going to most likely go one and done, or recruiting kids who are going to stay for 4 years. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, it's a great topic because the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, coaches, like the players they have, their job depends on it. Like it depends on winning. And if they don't win, they're probably not going to have their job very long. But at the same time, I think I lean towards the guys that are going to be there 4 years committed. The one and done kind of, it has that professional feel to it, and, you know, it's not, professional sports. So
right.
I think it's hard to motivate those one-and-done guys, too. And I know they want to go to the NBA, so they're motivated, too. But at the same time, it's just a little too maybe professional for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, we definitely take that thought into account, too. Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it, man. Again, good luck tonight. Hazlitt and Okemos, round two of district play tonight at 8 p.m. at East Lansing High School. Jeff, good luck, my brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Jeff Wanch, Okemos boys basketball coach. Gotta love that, man. Gotta love this time of the year, man. The pressure's on, one and done. Oh, boy. All right, Aaron, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk to a coach who was on the other side of that Okemos win. Yes, East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Fenimore. You don't want to miss that interview. Stick around. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Hey, what's up, good people? Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we're encouraging you all throughout this entire hour to give us a call. That's right. Pick up that phone, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And weigh in on our Barbershop Wednesday topic. If you could try and place yourself in the shoes of a college basketball coach, what would you prefer, going after and getting the big recruits who are going to go one and done, or recruiting kids, the Tom Izzo way, who are most likely going to stay for 4 years? What do you think? What would you do? 517-355-9527. Well, folks, it's about that time of the year once again. Yes, March Madness hoops. Not only will college basketball be consuming the lives of many, but high school hoops as well, and it's already started. The girls and boys are now in the postseason in round two of the boys' tip-off tonight. Now, we just finished talking with Okemos High School boys basketball coach Jeff Wanch, who moved on to round two of the postseason with a win over East Lansing, the East Lansing Trojans, on Monday night. And now we're going to talk to the opposing coach, who unfortunately was on the other end of that Okemos win, East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Finnemore. Welcome to the show, Steve. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Al, I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon.
My man. Now, you know, Steve, there's an old saying that goes, learning to lose is just as important, if not more important, than learning to win. Now, what's the first thing you told your team when you walked into that locker room after that loss on Monday?
Well, Al, I told them the first thing, and I remember it, I said I was proud of them. Matter of fact, walking down the hallways to the locker room where we meet, I was cheering them on. I was clapping for them, and some of them had their jerseys over their heads. They were walking really slow. We had one kid leaning up against the wall, and I was just so positive with them, and I just encouraged them, Alan. I told them over and over, you know, how proud I was because they fought so hard. You know, we were 2-7 at one time, and there were a lot of naysayers out there, distractions, we like to call them, and, you know, East Lansing always has a mark on their back. So basically what I said, I was proud of their performance.
Yeah, that's a great message, you know, Steve. And now I got to ask you, what was the atmosphere of that locker room like once you walked into it? I mean, I'm pretty sure there had to be a few tears here and there, right?
Yeah, I believe every player was crying. The coaches were a little sad. You know, I shed a few tears. And, you know, Al, you put so much work into it, especially the 48 hours prior to that, right after we got done with the Waverly game on Thursday night where we beat them at home, the next 2 days we just concentrated on Okemos. And, you know, I had Rob Smith on my bench, and he helped with the preparation, and he was tremendous. I mean, we were watching film. I thought my eyes were going to be bleeding. We watched so much film. So you know, it was a tough atmosphere. But you know what, Al? When guys cry like that after a contest, playoffs, championships, it shows you one thing, that they really care.
Right, exactly. I was just about to say that, man. It shows that they really wanted to win that thing, and you know, they put a lot into it, definitely. You could clearly see that. Now, again, you talked about having Rob Smith, the East Lansing girls basketball coach, who unfortunately their season ended very, very early as they went out in round one of districts last week. I mean, but Rob is a very, very basketball-savvy guy. I mean, that girls basketball program over at East Lansing has a very storied history. How was that? I mean, how did you two connect on that, you know, having him on the bench, and you know, talk about his basketball mind?
I've been around Rob now for 4 years, and we work together in the summertime when we run our basketball camp. And there's one thing about Rob Smith. He knows the game of basketball, and the second thing is he's very passionate when it comes to teaching and coaching. So I figured to myself, when we had doubleheaders on Friday evenings, Rob's team would play the first game, we would play the second. This kind of happened towards the end of the season, I think, against Jackson. Mm-hmm. I noticed he was sitting in the stands watching our game after his was over. And one game against Eastern, I noticed he was sitting at the scorer's table just watching. So I went home and I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to ask Rob if he wants to sit on our bench and help us any way he can. Mm-hmm. So once Rob gets into something, he stayed with it. And I figured, you know what? Here's a guy who won a state championship. I mean, he had a tremendous, tremendous run over those 9 or 10 years with Clarissa Bell and them. I said, all right. I said, let's bring him in. And you know what? All he did was add value to our team.
That is great. Is that your first time, you know, calling Rob to sit on the bench during your run?
Absolutely. You know, I read once from Phil Jackson. He said, when you're hiring a coaching staff, always hire people who know just as much or more basketball than you do, because, you know, we don't know it all as coaches. We're, you know, we can learn every day as a coach. So I learned so much about Robin, about the game in 4 years.
Gotta love that, man. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Finnemore. Now, Steve, even though your season ended earlier than expected, you all really started to click late in that season. A remarkable run, to be quite honest, Steve. You guys won 6 of your last 8 games to close out the season. Before that run, you had a pretty rocky season. What began to click for this team?
Well, I'll tell you, Al, everyone knows about Nate Colon, and he had a tremendous run at the end there when we gave him another chance. You know, Nate got a chance early in the season. It was very short, though. And then when I just threw him in there, we really began to take off. The one interesting statistic going on my season, I'm a big numbers guy. Out of our 11 losses this year, which is incredible, mm-hmm. we lost 7 games by 4 points or less.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I'm saying to myself, 4 points or less. Now, that's amazing. And that comes down to a couple of missed free throws, maybe a couple of turnovers here, you know. So, basically, we could have had a tremendous record this year. But, we kind of turned it around right after the Eastern and Holt game when we lost and we started. And we just started playing better, you know. Nate gave us another weapon with his tremendous outside shooting. Mm-hmm. And we went a little smaller, Al. We went with four guards and one forward. So we were a little faster, and we shot the ball a little better. So I would basically say, in a nutshell, that's what got us going.
Yes, without a doubt. And you know what, Steve? One game I remember being to, I went up to you, after the game. I think it was the Grand Ledge game. After the Grand Ledge game, I saw you, and I said, where in the world did Nate Colon come from? And you looked at me and said, Al, from the end of the bench. Where in the world did Nate come from, though, Steve? My goodness.
Well, I'll tell you. Nate's a great kid. He's been around our program, and last year, which everyone can take a lesson from, he got cut from our team. We had a lot of guards last year, and so Nate played on the JV as a junior. So he really swallowed his pride. He did a tremendous job. Nate's a basketball junkie. He knows the game inside out. He works really hard, and he's always staying after practice. He's always early at practice. So, he got a couple of chances early in the season against Eastern, against Grand Ledge. Mm. And, things didn't work out as well as he would have liked. So he sat for a few games. And, one night I just came out. We were down by 9 to Eastern, 2.5 minutes to go. I put Nate in. He made a three, made a couple of energy plays. And the next 7 games he just played and just did his thing.
Unbelievable. Now, Steve, are there any regrets when you talk about Nate? Do you regret not playing him, as much earlier in the year and even, bringing him up from JV last year at all?
Absolutely not, Al. Absolutely not. And all due respect to the kid, he's a tremendous player. I made a decision to go with a different player or different players where we were a little bigger, would have two forwards in there at the same time. A lot of people got to realize, Akil Mitchell, who was our leading scorer on the season, he was putting up great numbers. Devontae Haynes was another scoring guard putting up great numbers. Mm-hmm. We had two solid point guards in Gabe Horton Pankow and Jared Hallenstein. So those are four guards right there that were playing ahead of Nate. And you know what Nate did? He never complained once. He played really hard. Sure, you can look from afar and say, Finnemore should have played him more. But, I was with him every day in practice, and I just thought those four guys were playing a little better.
Got to love that. All right, Coach. Now, I got to ask you, when it comes to coaching, and you're such a great basketball mind. I've had numerous talks about you in the game of basketball. Yep. And when you talk about just coaching in general, I feel as though every year a coach can learn something about himself. What did you learn about yourself as a coach this season, Steve?
I tell you, you say every year you got to learn about yourself. I would actually break that down and say every day you should learn about yourself. Mm-hmm. I think what I do in the morning, I wake up during the basketball season and I ask myself, what am I going to do better today at practice? What am I going to do better at the game tonight? And, at the end of the day, I ask myself the same question. Did I accomplish those two, that mission that I was on to improve something? And now, it's getting tougher and tougher, the coach these days, because what the players are hearing from you, they're hearing other opinions and other ideas from outside people. So whether it's an AAU coach, whether it's a parent, whether it's a girlfriend, whether it's a classmate. So there's always mixed messages there. And I guess, Al, with the main thing, you learn as a coach is, hey, maybe you should listen to other people's opinions. Maybe you should listen to the player himself. There were a couple of times Nate Colon in practice and even at halftime in the locker room, he made a couple of suggestions that I went with. So I think, Al, what you got to do is you got to be real flexible as a coach to allow other opinions, like with Rob Smith or like my coach Scott Martin, my other assistant. So probably in a nutshell, Al, what I learned was to allow other opinions to creep in and listen to them.
I love that, Steve. I love it. Now, for you, such a competitive guy like yourself, do you follow, will you continue to follow the district, regional, and state tourney now? And I know it's got to be tougher now knowing that you all are out. And do you pick up anything from any other high school coaches?
Well, what I like to do, Al, I like to learn as much basketball as possible. I will be there tonight at 5 o'clock to watch Eastern play Everett because they're both in our conference, obviously. Maybe I can learn something for the following year when we play them, looking at some of their younger guys. And 8 o'clock tonight, I really want to see Okemos and Hazlitt because I like that Hazlitt team. I love the Okemos team. And what you do is you stay a part of it. I had a coach tell me last year he wasn't going to stick around because it was in his gym. We host the districts. I'm going to be there being an ambassador for the game. I love high school basketball. I went out and saw Langsberg play bass about 3 weeks ago. It's 15 minutes from my house. I sat there. I took some notes. Al, if you're really passionate about your craft, about your profession, you will try to learn every single day and learn from everyone you can.
That is so true. That's what separates the good from great, baby.
No doubt. No doubt.
Now for you, what's the future of your boys' basketball program look like, Steve?
Well, we have tremendous, tremendous underclassmen at East Lansing, and that's why I'm so upbeat and optimistic about the future. Our freshman and JV teams did very well this year. We had four freshmen out on the JV team this year, and I had two freshmen on my team. So we have six solid players in place for next year. Granted, they keep progressing and keep playing hard. You know, we had a very good junior this year and two very good sophomores on my team. So the future is very bright. But also, the one thing you got to realize, Okemos, despite Edward Smith being and Darius Morris, they're two seniors, they have some very good underclassmen, and Connor George and Chaz Richardson, their point guard. So all around the league, Al, everyone's going to be good next year. There's a lot of good underclassmen coming up.
Yeah, the future certainly looks bright. All right, Steve, I can't let you go without you weighing in on this one. Our Barbershop Wednesday topic, you know, each and every Wednesday we love to debate about an intriguing topic, and in honor of March Madness, I want to throw this one out at you, Steve. If you could try and place yourself in the shoes of a college basketball coach, what would you prefer? Going after and getting the biggest recruits in the nation, who are, as we all know, are most likely going to go one and done, or recruiting kids who are going to stay for 4 years? What is your take on it?
I tell you, Al, I think you can fill a whole show. You can probably write a thesis on this also. This is a complex question, but an interesting and an awesome question. My personal preference, Al, I went back to college at the age of 30 to get my degree, and I loved being in the classroom. I absorbed the professor's lectures. I got along with my classmates. I loved learning. The process was amazing.
Yeah.
Now, as a 17, 18, 19-year-old teenager, I was in no way ready for another classroom after going to grammar school and high school. Al, there's a lot of kids out there that are not prepared for college at such a young age. And all of a sudden, when agents and street runners start coming around and telling you, you can be a top pick next year, you can make $1 million, you know, the coaches buy into that kind of stuff too. So they figure, let's take these guys, let's try to make a run for a national championship, you know, like a John Calipari's doing, as opposed to a Tom Izzo, who loves the four-year player. And you know, there's nothing like a college education, but you can always go back to school, Al, if a kid leaves after a year. So I think the NBA, I think Adam Silver really has to step in here, and he's talked about not, you know, getting rid of the one and done and maybe having a two and through. You know, he wants 2 years now, and I think it's a lot of this weighs on the NBA, Al. It's not so much the NCAA. The NCAA gets a bad rap for this sometimes. I think you got to put some the onus on the NBA, and they got to step up here. Al, honestly, I couldn't answer the question, but that's probably how I feel about both issues.
I hear you on that. A very, very interesting points there, Steve. Hey, appreciate it. Again, East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Finnemore. Steve, my man, thanks so much for joining me, man.
My man, have a great day.
You too. You too. All right. Gotta love Steve. A very, very interesting take on that. Again, if we want you to weigh in on it. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. If you are a college, you know, basketball coach, what are you going after? The one and done guy or the four and out guy? We want you to weigh in on it, guys. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll talk about it. Barbershop Wednesday is right around the corner. Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this March 5th, 2014. Well, folks, first of all, I want to remind you all again that you can be a part of the Current Sports TV audience. That's right, each and every Wednesday. You know the drill. We record our TV show, Current Sports TV, each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. here at the Current Sports TV studios located on the campus of Michigan State University. Tonight, I will be sitting down with Joey C. Eisenman of the Spartan Nutrition and Performance Program, otherwise known as SNAP. He's doing a great job there with the facility. It's pretty interesting and pretty cool. They actually take, you know, youth athletes who are, you know, in high school, in elementary school, and even younger, and try to help them as far as eating right and putting them on a workout regimen that aids them in becoming better in their particular sport. It's a really interesting program. Joey will be sitting with me tonight, again, 6 p.m. If you want to be a part of that TV studio audience, it's totally free. Do so by signing up online at WKAR.org. All right, Matt, welcome, Matt. Man, we haven't had you on this late in the show in a while, man. Two great interviews.
Crazy. Yeah. They were great interviews. I would say I was bored back there, but no. They're very, very fascinating interviews. Two great talkers on them.
Yeah, definitely. Again, wish Jeff luck tonight. Again, that's 8 p.m. As they kick off with tip-off round two of the district finals. All right, Barbershop Wednesday, folks. Again, we've been posing this question throughout the entire show, even to the two coaches who were just on with us. If you could try and place yourself in the shoes of a college basketball coach, what would you go after? The one-and-done kid or going after a kid who's going to stay 4 years? Interesting perspectives from both Steve Fenimore and Jeff Wanch. I think Steve kind of took the middle ground. He kind of lists the pros and cons of both. And I think Jeff, he said he would take the 4-year guy. I could see both areas to this conversation, Matt. For me, and I'm just speaking on my perspective of it, and especially when you talk about the pressures that these college coaches go through in any sport, to be honest, not even just college basketball. We're talking here, you know, programs want to win and they want to win now. And we've seen, you know, programs like, I always go back to, Calipari's program. He always goes after the kids who are, the top recruits in the nation, the kids who are most likely going to go one and done and possibly be top NBA draft stock guys. For me, and knowing my personality, I'm a very competitive guy. I want to win right now. I want to win as soon as possible. I may go with, try and recruit those one-and-done kids. I may go that route, Matt. And, when you talk about going one-and-done, it can be very frustrating because every single year, we're talking about every single season, you have to rebuild your program. And in many ways, for lack of better terms, just start from scratch and try to do the same thing you just did in the recruiting. It's got to be so hectic and stressful for a coach and the fellow coaches who work with you during that. But when you talk about the game of basketball, I think the game of basketball is so dynamic, Matt, because we've seen kids who are in high school who just have that raw talent that can immediately make that jump from high school to the pros. We've seen it countless times, and countless athletes have had that success. Basketball is interesting because, in football, you still have to – a kid's not going from high school to the NFL unless he's just a freak of nature. You still got a lot of development to grow as far as your muscle mass, as far as your canniness for the game goes. There's so many much more dynamics, especially physical dynamics, that go into other sports. But with basketball, it's a finesse sport. You can impact the game on both ends of the court. Size and finesse come into play so much there. And it's easy for a kid to have that raw potential and talent to make that jump. And that's why, when you talk about these kids, you can get a kid who is willing to go, who can go one and done once they come to a college program. That's what makes it so competitive, even more competitive, I think, in the world of basketball recruiting, more so than any other sport, because of that raw talent. And that's what builds a program, when you talk about the game of basketball, just raw talent. Now, is it suitable? We've seen programs still go after those one-and-done kids and still not have that immediate success that they would like. We've seen that happen before. But in basketball, more than any other sport, the odds weigh more so in that favor when you talk about that. Matt, we'll get your opinion. I believe we have a caller really quick. Oh, yeah, we'll get your thoughts on it really quick, Matt. Then go
to
our caller.
I think obviously, if I'm a coach, the decision to go for one and done kids or kids who are going to stay 4 years, it depends on my job security. If I'm on the hot seat, give me all the one and duns. I could be like Coach Calipari and get 7 of the top 15 or whatever it was, bring it on. I'd like to keep my job, and I'd like as much talent as at my disposal as possible. But let's say I'm entrenched in a job. I know I'm safe. You know, ideally you want a mix of both.
Because, right, I want to bring it up too, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, Calipari struck gold in 2012,
right,
when he had all those freshmen. But it's not like they were all freshmen. I mean, he had guys who came back after you know, great freshman seasons for their sophomore years. He had juniors on the team. It's not like it was just freshmen. Obviously, they got the most attention, and Anthony Davis will do that because he was a transcendent player. But you need that leadership. I mean, look at what's happened to Kentucky the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now they're falling apart.
Yeah,
last year they lost to Robert Morris in the NIT.
Right.
I mean, it you know, talent doesn't just win out over skill or heart or, you know, teamwork.
And experience.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it matters. It does matter in the college game, just like in the pro game. I mean, it takes teams years with young players to develop till they get to that championship caliber. I think, you know, he struck gold. He, you know, it was a lightning strike in 2012. I think he's trying to recreate it, and he's struggling. And mm-hmm. that's part of the reason he's had this, you know, doesn't talk to the media after he gets ejected from a loss. I mean, there's a lot of pressure there. They were supposed to go 40-0 this year because they had the greatest recruiting class ever.
The hype was
through the roof. It doesn't mean everything in the game. I mean, you know, you still have to go out there and play.
Right.
So I think for me, I want a mix of both, but if I had to go one way or the other, I would probably go 4-year kids. I want kids who want to be there, and I want kids who want to be there for the long haul. I don't want kids who are trying to just improve their stock. I want kids who want to be part of a team, you know, have a great experience in college, and grow up as a human being. So that's where I would go.
So you're going 4 and out. I'm going 1 and done. Let's see what our caller thinks. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hi, how are you?
Very, very well.
Good. Well, I think, you know, one of the things Steve Finnemore said is it's a complicated question, and I couldn't agree with that more. Because to me, Matt just kind of brought up, you know, what is his job security and stuff like that. That's one of the complicating factors. The other question is can you even get him? You know, where are you coaching at? Are you coaching at Robert Morris? Are you coaching at Virginia Commonwealth? Are you coaching at Northwestern? You know, where are you coaching at where you might be even able to get a one-and-done kid? So, you know, all those factors go in. But the reality is if you can get your hands on him, everybody's going to want to go for the one and done. They're going to want to go for the absolute best players that you can because you want the best chance you can to get to that national championship, to get that ring. That's the purpose of competition, is to win it all.
That is very, very true. Hey, thanks a lot, Kirk. Appreciate it, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and you see, I mean, even with a program like Michigan State, who historically is known for the guys who are in there for the long haul, who stay the 4 years and then move on to possibly have careers wherever. Even Tom Izzo tried to go after Jabari Parker.
Right, and Cliff Alexander.
Exactly. So, I mean, they're definitely going to make that effort, but I always say, man, when you talk about these kids, and this is why, and I always say this, man, I hate recruiting with a passion because you're dealing with kids who, especially when you talk about basketball, these kids, especially those top recruits, the hype is through the roof. I watched He Got Game, you know, it's one of my favorite movies, but I watched He Got Game the other day. I mean, the hype that these kids go through is through the roof. And they're high school kids. These are kids. They change their mind at the drop of a dime. And when it all depends, you know, when you talk about basketball recruiting, these kids who are these top recruits in the nation, they want to go to the NBA as quickly as possible. And it all depends on the sexiness, as I say, the sexiness of your program. Has your program, what's the track record look like for sending your kids to the NBA? What's it look like? They want to see how that resume stacks up. And when they look at a program like a Kentucky, you know, like a Calipari's program, who has sent, you know, players who have just gone for 1 year in his program and went on to the NBA, I'm going to be honest with you. That looks very, very appealing for me. If I'm a top recruit in high school, that looks very, very appealing. And, you know, recruits want to see what's the quickest route that I can go to the NBA. And, you know, now they're trying to, you know, discussions have been made about, you know, the 2-and-through rule, as Steve just brought up. And it kind of, when you talk about the 2-and-through, I kind of like the 2-and-through rule because it allows you to be at college for more than just 1 year, which is just, I mean, that's just like a blink of an eye. But it allows you to go there for another year, possibly get some more experience, not have to stay there for the entire 4 years, and then make your decision that way. If you do want to make that leap, it allows more for the development, excuse me, for these kids, which I think is also a necessity and something that's very, very important. I like that rule, and I wouldn't be opposed to the 2-and-through rule.
I wouldn't either. I mean, obviously, my big thing on, you know, potential players going to the pros would be like baseball, the baseball model, where you either mm-hmm. come straight out of high school or you go for a certain amount of time.
Gotcha.
Just because there are kids who are good enough. Like LeBron James.
Oh, yeah.
Had he gone to college.
Oh, man.
I mean, it would have been almost unfair.
Right. Some kids are just ready. And I always think they should have that. Kids should. I love the, you know, if you're good enough to come out of high school and go to the NBA, and, you know, and Lord knows what some of these kids are going through financially. Sometimes they come from these rural areas, these, you know, broken down neighborhoods. If that quick money is there and you want to take a risk and go out there and, you know, coming out of high school and see what happens, why not? Give them that choice. It's America, baby. You know what I mean? But, you know, if you're going to regulate it, I can see, you know, maybe the one and done. I'm not opposed to that. Or the two and through rule. I like those two.
Right. I mean, it's tough to blame the kids. I mean, if you're going to be a professional athlete, I mean, your earning potential, you know, especially in your chosen profession, ends at, what, 35? I mean, mm-hmm. it's not like you have a long period of time to make your money in
right.
that profession. So I think, you know, denying them, if you had them all stay 4 years, I mean, that's 4 years where they could be earning millions of dollars. I mean, a large sum of the money they're going to make for their entire lives.
Right, right.
It's almost unfair to take that away from them. But if you give them the choice where you can come out of high school or you can stay for a few years and then go, mm-hmm. I think you're opening up the door where if they are good enough and talented enough and they think they can make it, they can try. But at the same time, if they go to college, you know, it's not – because right now the one-and-done rule, it kind of messes with college basketball.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Calipari is one thing, but I mean, every school is going to go after these one-and-done players. But it's just like, you know, you're almost renting a guy.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what you're doing.
I mean,
because, I mean, these kids see that, you know, okay, his program is, you know, I have to just be there for 1 year and I get to go.
Yeah,
and, you
basketball
know, live my
season's
dreams.
Over. I guess I don't have to go to class anymore.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah. Academics take a huge backseat.
Yeah.
I just think in recruiting in general, they take a huge backseat.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Without a doubt. But yeah, I definitely see that perspective. And, you know, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, brought up an interesting solution, if you will. And brought up, you know, what if a kid has the option of possibly either going to college or if he feels as though he's ready for a possible NBA debut to possibly go to the D League and get paid in the D League, the NBA D League. And I think that's another viable option that should be on the table as well.
I agree. I think as the D League kind of grows and it is growing, I think you're going to see more kids maybe explore that option. I mean, we saw Brandon Jennings go to Italy, I think, somewhere in Europe when he decided not to go to college. And then he came back the next year and was drafted in like the top 10. So it worked out for him. But if you could stay in the States, play in the D League, still get exposed, especially exposed to NBA teams.
Exactly.
I think that's almost a no-brainer. But the big thing for me is kids today care more about their draft stock and how they could get drafted than they do winning when they're in college.
That is true.
You know, it's like the...
Getting theirs, if you will.
John Calipari's trump card, to
right.
me, is Daniel Orton.
Daniel Orton
played 13 minutes and averaged 3 points in one season with Kentucky. He was the 29th pick in the NBA draft.
Right.
I mean, he can go to kids, high school kids, and say, you don't even have to play for me. You can barely get off the bench, and I can still make you a first-round draft.
And that's a compelling
And that matters
offer.
More to, I mean, and
yes.
why wouldn't it?
Why wouldn't it? Exactly. If I'm reading that right there and I'm looking at Orton as an example, oh, I'm making that move, baby.
Where do I sign?
I sign? Exactly. And that gives him the upper hand on so many schools. So, all right. Well, there you have it. Again, if you want to weigh on this, you can do so on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Thanks so much to East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Fenimore and Okemos boys basketball coach Jeff Wanch as Jeff tries to make it past the second round now of districts against Hazlett at 8 p.m. tonight at East Lansing High School. Gotta love that. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.